Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. So we probably all have that one relative, you know. Well, we all have one relative. That one relative who, you know, when you get together, whether it's for Thanksgiving or a family gathering, who always tells the same story. Anybody ever had that? And you know the polite thing to do is to listen and laugh, but inside you're like, please get me out of here, Lord. Anything, get me out of here. If that trumpet sounds right now, I'll be happy to get out of here. We all have that one relative. I kind of feel like that on major church holidays. I kind of feel like that at Easter, and I kind of feel like that at Good Friday, and I kind of feel like that at Christmas, and I kind of feel like that today at Transfiguration. Because no matter what, these church holidays roll around, and they're great holidays, and we love them, but it's always the same gospel lesson, and it's always hard to see something new and not to tell the same story. And I don't know about you, but I don't like telling the same story over and over. It's like, well, I don't want, in me, in my humanness, I'm like, well, I don't want them to think I recycled a sermon. But in reality, you probably wouldn't remember the sermon I preached last year at this time anyways. But no offense to you, I don't even remember what I preached last year at this time. So, I don't know. So, I always approach these days with this prayer. God, show me something, please, I haven't seen before. And the great thing about God's word is the Holy Spirit does that. I don't know about you, but for me, I can read God's word three times in a row, and every time I read it, I see something different, and that's pretty cool. So as I was preparing for today's lesson, God showed me something I never really saw in the text from our gospel lesson about the Transfiguration Sunday. Here we have Jesus taking his disciples up on the mountain, and all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appear with him. Now that's pretty darn cool, right? Especially for these disciples who were Jewish. And Moses and Elijah holds a very important place in their religion, as it does ours as well, in our faith. And so they had to be extremely excited. I mean, come on, these guys are dead, but here they are standing with Jesus and talking with them, and that had to be a pretty amazing to see. Let alone the fact that Scripture says that Jesus was white like light, dazzling white. And then they're sitting there, and you know, Peter in his Peterism says, Lord, it's so good to be here. Let's not go down the mountain anymore. Who cares about those people down there? Let us put up three tents and we'll stay here. And then all of a sudden, if it couldn't get any better or more terrifying, as it were, this voice comes from heaven, and they know it's God the Father, and he says, this is my son whom I love. I am well pleased with him. Now, I don't know about you, but if we're around that mountain, after I cleaned myself up a little bit, because I probably would have soiled myself, let's be honest, that would be both exciting and scary at the same time. That can happen in life, right? I would have been amazed. And as I read this story, I sit back and I think about how awesome that would have been to see that. How awesome would it have been to behold what the disciples saw that day with Moses and Elijah and Jesus and the white light, clothes and the dazzling white light and the voice from heaven. And then I suddenly realized there's another time that God said, this is my son, listen to him. Do you remember when that was? Matter of fact, we celebrated it just recently in the season we call Epiphany, Jesus' baptism. When the dove descended on him, the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of the dove, and the voice came from heaven and said, this is my son. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute. We do get to see this played out before our eyes. Because in essence, what's really happening in the lesson for today is a direct reflection of our baptismal life. That's exciting, isn't it? You probably hear me talk about baptism all the time. It's the most important thing we can talk about. Because by baptism, you have been claimed to be children of God, of the Heavenly Father. Your identity has been changed as God looks at you as Jesus and sees you as forgiven and loved and redeemed, saved. He no longer sees our imperfection or our sinfulness. He sees us as perfect. And it's in this baptism, when we're standing there gathered around, that Jesus is with us. And there are three people present at our baptism. No, not Moses and Elijah and Jesus, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit stand with us in baptism. How beautiful it is. How wonderful it is on that day of our baptism. Maybe we're too a baby and we don't remember it. Maybe we're adult, but when we sit around and we watch it, we think about, this is good, let's not leave, let's just stay here, because this is a glorious thing. And then a voice does shout out from heaven. A voice shouts out, this is now my child whom I loved, I am pleased. Wait a minute. Can God be pleased with us? Can he be pleased with us? I don't know about you. I just stood up there and said a minute ago that I'm a real big sinner. And if I look at my life, I'm not very pleased with it. I do naughty things. I think naughty things. And I do naughty things. I said that twice because I do naughty things. I do. My old sinful nature is really, really strong. And as Scripture says, there is nothing good that lives in me. And if I'm a betting man, I bet that applies to you as well. Because you're human. I'm human. And we all fall short of the glory of God. Yet, in his love and his mercy and his wisdom, it doesn't seem too wise to me, but God is all wisdom, right? He looks down at us in baptism, and by virtue of baptism, every moment of our lives, and says, "This is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love. I am well pleased." Wow. Those very same words. And then it goes on. So we have Jesus there. We have God the Father and God the Spirit there. And we have these words that come down upon us. And then it doesn't stop there. Because all throughout Scripture, this dazzling white light on Jesus, his garments as white as snow. I mean, man, that'd be a great commercial for like OxyClean, right? But anyways, his garments were as dazzling white and bright and light. And oh my goodness, it was beautiful. The day of our baptism. Scripture talks about all these people gathered around the throne of God, the saints on earth walking in white robes. Well, guess what? That's you and me because of the day of our baptism. As we are washed with the water in the name of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are cleansed. All our dirt, all our filth, all the soil of our lives is wiped away, and we are cleansed, and we become in God's presence as bright and as white as snow. We clothe ourselves in white robes. If you go to a funeral in a Lutheran church or a Catholic church or in any liturgical church, there's something that you're going to see that's common in all these funerals. The casket is covered in a white pall. And that casket is covered in a white pall to remind us that the person lying in that casket has been baptized in Christ Jesus and they have been made as white as snow. Their sins of scarlet have become as white as snow. Their sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west. That happens the day we're baptized. And it never changes because we are sinners and saints at the same time as long as we dwell in this world. Remember that. We are saints because God, in his infinite wisdom, in the day of our baptism, just like on that mountain of transfiguration, did the very same thing to Jesus that he does also for us because we are his children in him. We are clothed in white robes because we have the victory of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who has died and has risen for us. What that means is that we no longer are people of shame. We are no longer people who are weighed down by death. We are no longer a people who have to dwell in worry and anxiety and fear. We are no longer those people because the victory of the Almighty God has been given to us and is secure. Granted, life is not easier. We'll talk about that in 1 second. But we have a joy and a hope that the world cannot take away from us in the midst of anything that Satan puts into our path or this world throws at us. But here's something else about the baptismal life. It doesn't end there. Notice what happened on the mountain. Jesus looked to those disciples after Peter's suggestion and said, "It's time to go down the mountain. We can't stay here." On the day of baptism, Jesus says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now go and make disciples." So often we as Christians get comfortable staying right on the mountain with Jesus. We hog them all to ourselves, don't we? I mean, it's great to have Jesus. It's wonderful. There's peace and there's joy. The wonderful hymn we just sang, "When Peace Like a River." All those things are great, but we forget that we're not supposed to stay there. We get to come back to the mountain every time we worship, every time we pray, every time we come to the sacraments, every time we gather as God's people, and every time we read the word. We get to come back to the mountain. Yay, that's awesome. But there's work to be done. We have to go down the mountain. We can't stay there forever. The gospel must be declared in the love and power of Jesus to every nation, every person, every heart, everywhere. So Jesus says, it's time to go down the mountain. Part of our baptismal life is living and rejoicing in our baptism, where we are fed, nourished, and strengthened through word and in sacrament, so that we might go down the mountain as God's children, changed by the waters of baptism, to be the presence of Jesus everywhere we go. His hands, his mouth, and his feet in everything we do in this life. We go down the mountain, back into the valley. It's beautiful on the mountain. There are great things on the mountain. There's nothing but peace and rejoicing and salvation on the mountain. But we go back down into the valley where there's darkness and chaos and sin and sickness and death and all the joys of this world. But we go into that mountain as victorious people of Jesus Christ, rejoicing in our salvation, knowing that he is with us. He does not stay on the mountain. He is with us. And lo, I am with you to the very end of the age, he says, walking by our side, holding our hand, filling us with his love and his promise and his salvation, so that no matter what comes into our path, we may rejoice and show people who Jesus is through his love, through his joy, through his peace, and through our proclamation. The reality is, if we don't come down the mountain, we are not fulfilling the work of our baptism. If we don't come down the mountain, people will not know Jesus Christ. We come down the mountain into our schools, our workplaces, our homes, our neighborhoods, and our family, so that people may see Jesus in us and give God glory, so that they may come to the mountain to be saved, be baptized, and be redeemed. This is the baptismal life. And here on the mountain of transfiguration, we see its beauty. Once again, in Jesus Christ. As God visited him on the mountain that day and sent the prophets and Moses, made him as bright and white and dazzling as anyone had ever seen. More bright and white than lightning. As he called out from heaven and said, "This is my son whom I love, I am well pleased." So too has he done the same for you in baptism. And every day of our lives, that baptismal promise covers us in the blood, in the death, and in the resurrection of Jesus, so that we may live victorious in this day, conquering sin, death, and the devil by the power of Jesus, to be his messengers on the plain just beneath that mountain, as God looks down and says, "This is my son, this is my daughter, whom I love. With them, I am well pleased." In Jesus' name, amen.